So yesterday morning, we finally decided to go ahead and clean up those little plastic Easter eggs that have been all over the place for a month. We started early. They've been everywhere around the house, and we had one last Easter egg hunt around the house first. The kids hid them so well, and me and Stephanie, we nailed it, I think. And I am trying to do my part to finish off the Easter ham. I am good, but I'm not sure that I'm gonna make it. I can't see the bottom yet. I finished off my chocolate Easter bunny last week already, and finished off Stephanie's last night. That's how it goes in this family. Even as an adult, it is always a little sad when the Easter chocolate is gone, isn't it? But while the Easter festivities may be over, we are in this season of Easter. Just as the trees are greening, the flowers blooming, we are in this season now of Easter. Easter is just beginning. We're in this season. Whether we're ready for it or not, ready to be fully alive in Christ or not, He is risen. He is risen. No matter where we've been or what we've been going through, whether we asked for it or not, still there is this message of new life for us, this resurrection hope that breaks into our world as a gift from God. Our scripture reading for this week is coming from the Gospel of John from chapter 20. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will go take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. There are a number of times in the scriptures, in the Gospel of John specifically, where Jesus, after the resurrection, he comes into contact with his followers. And these are beautiful Easter stories, and you might expect that when the resurrected Jesus shows up, it would certainly be a big deal, this unmistakably glorious kind of event. But really, in these stories, when Jesus comes, it always seems a little quiet without the Easter fanfare we might expect. Even with the stone rolled away now, it seems that really in each of the stories where Jesus shows up, the people in the stories are just as confused as ever about the whole thing and all that it means for us. They're still missing things, which is comforting, really, to us in that same boat, missing things now 2,000 years later. Mary stood weeping outside of the tomb. A stone rolled away, angels speaking to her, Jesus standing there with her, and she couldn't see Jesus himself speaking to her outside the tomb, and she wasn't seeing it. She couldn't see Jesus with her. There are lots of ways to be blind. Sometimes we just don't have the eyes to see. The priest Ronald Rollheiser told a story about an Easter Sunday some years ago, and it was a really beautiful spring day. But on that particular day, he was blind to what was around him. He was young, and he was homesick, alone on Easter Sunday, and nursing a huge heartache. And so that colored everything that he was seeing and feeling. He said it was Easter Sunday and spring and high sunshine, but for what he was seeing, he said, it might as well have been midnight on Good Friday in the dead of winter. Lonely and nursing a heartache, he went and took a walk, and at the entrance of a park, he said, I saw this blind beggar holding up this sign to try to conjure up a little sport. He held support. He held up this sign that said, it's spring and I'm blind. And that's when he finally realized he was blind that day. He was blind. He was missing it. Blind to Easter, to spring, to all the good things that were around him. We struggle, I think, to see sometimes that the gift of new life, to see the great gift that God has given us in Jesus, that's sometimes right in front of us. There are a lot of ways to be blind. Jesus is standing right in front of Mary, and she can't see. There was a stone rolled away. There was an empty tomb. There's angels speaking to her, but she still couldn't see. There's plenty of evidence all around her. Evidence all around her. But that is not what changes things for her. That's not what changes things. What makes Mary finally see is when Jesus comes, he turns to Mary and he speaks out her name. Jesus speaks out her name with grace. He says, Mary, Mary, he says. And this is what changes her. This is what finally makes her turn around, and then she sees when he speaks out her name. When Jesus comes in new life, he doesn't come back and give this grand triumphal speech to a huge audience. He doesn't come to people in general or speak to people in general. Jesus comes and he comes just to Mary. Jesus comes specifically to her, and he speaks out that word that applies just to her, Mary, he says. Jesus comes personally with his love and his grace to me and to you, not generally, but to us. That's how Jesus knows Mary and us completely, knows us completely and deeply and personally, knows our names, knows our hurts, knows the things we try to hide, knows everything that we need, and comes to each of us with his love. A year or so ago, I was at this church conference, and it was the kind of thing where there were these long couple days of listening to these lectures and participating in these discussions with people. And as an introvert myself, this was exhausting. It can be exhausting. We had this worship service toward the end where they had us do the passing of the peace with people, where you go around and you shake people's hands and pass the peace of Christ, say something like, "Peace be with you." And so I went around with my awkward self, and I shook some hands, and I gave some awkward hugs. That's kind of my specialty, the awkward hugs. And I was at that time tired and worn out. And really, I was just ready to escape and go take a nap. But then this friend of mine saw me. This big black church lady, full of love, bursting with joy. She saw me. And that's when I knew I was in trouble. You know the kind of person who can make you feel like you're the only person in the room? She saw me. And she came and she wrapped me up in this big hug, and she said something that I've heard her say before, but this time she was saying it to me. She said, "I love you, and Jesus loves you. I love you, and Jesus loves you." The risen Jesus, the love of Jesus comes for each of us in this world, loves each of us personally, comes to wrap us up, whisper his grace to the very depths of our soul. Jesus came to give you life and love, to wake us up and to open our eyes to the great gift of love and life that Jesus brings. After Mary turns around to see Jesus, he doesn't hesitate. Jesus doesn't pause, doesn't miss a beat. He doesn't let her cling there to his body, as we might hope. He sends her out to go and tell that he is alive. We can't hold on for ourselves. She is sent. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me. Don't hold on to me," he said here. "But go and announce the good news. Go and tell." The other disciples, they had all already returned home. It's Mary who goes and she spreads the good news. And she doesn't have to go and get ordained first or take some preaching class. She doesn't have to have her life together or know the Bible like she should. She is sent. She's got all that she needs because she has seen the Lord. She's known the love of Jesus for her. She has experienced the good news for herself. And so she goes. E. Stanley Jones told about the first sermon that he ever preached. When he told his pastor of his call to ministry, the pastor asked him to preach his very first sermon that next Sunday. And so he prepared thoroughly and was anxious to make a good impression. And there was a large crowd there that day wishing him well. And he said he began on a really high note, but he hadn't gone a half a dozen sentences when he made the mistake of using a word that he had never used before or ever since, but which certainly wasn't even a word at all. And he said that as he said the word, which wasn't a word, he saw this college girl bend her head down and smile. And it so upset him that when he came back to try to continue his sermon, he couldn't remember a single thing. And he said he didn't know how long. He just stood there rubbing his hands, hoping that something at all would come back. And it seemed like forever. And then he finally blurted out, "Friends, I am very sorry, but I have forgotten my sermon." And he stared down the steps leading from the pulpit in shame and confusion. And as he was about to leave the pulpit, a voice seemed to say to him, "Haven't I done anything for you? Haven't I done anything for you?" "Yes, of course, you've done everything for me," he thought. Well, seemed to say the voice, "couldn't you tell them that?" And so he did. He said, "Friends, I see that I cannot preach, but I love Jesus." And so he went on and told them everything that Jesus had done for him. And hasn't Jesus done great things for us? Given his life for us, loved us when we were unlovable, showed up when we needed him most. You know, only you know the ways that Jesus has come to you with grace in your times of need. You can tell them that. Like Mary, we are sent to share the good news we found with our words, with our actions, with all that we do. The pastor, Mike Iaconelli, told the story about a deacon in his church who didn't really live up to the title, didn't really reach out or go and visit with people, pray for people, didn't really do many of the things that maybe he should have done. One day, Iaconelli said to him, "I have this group of young people that go out and go to the old folks' home and put on a worship service once a month. Would you go? Would you drive them to the home and at least do that?" And the deacon agreed. And the first Sunday, the deacon went, and he was in the back with his arms folded as the kids were doing their thing up front. And all of a sudden, someone was tugging on his arm. And he looked down, and there was this old man in a wheelchair. And he took a hold of the deacon's hand, and the old man held his hand all during the service. And the next month, that was repeated. The man in the wheelchair came and held the hand of the deacon the next month. And then the old man wasn't there. And the deacon asked, and he was told, "Oh, he's down the hall, right-hand side, third door. He's dying. He's unconscious. But if you want to go down and pray over his body, that's all right." And the deacon went down there, and there were tubes and wires hanging all over the place. The deacon took the man's hand and prayed that God would receive him, that God would bring him from this life into the next and give him eternal blessings. And as soon as he finished the prayer, the old man squeezed his hand. And he knew that he had been heard. He was so moved by this that tears began to run down his cheeks, and he kind of stumbled out of the room, and he, as he did, he bumped into a woman, the man's daughter. And she said, "He's been waiting for you. He's been waiting for you." He said that he didn't want to die until he had the chance to hold the hand of Jesus one more time. And the deacon was amazed at this. He said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, my father would say that once a month, Jesus came to this place, and he would take my hand, and he would hold it for a whole hour. I don't want to die until I have the chance to hold the hand of Jesus one more time." The scripture tells us that the body of Christ is still alive and present in this world, even when we can't see it, when people are struggling to see. The scriptures tell us that the body of Christ is here, and the body of Christ is you. The body of Christ is the church. Christ is alive and active in the world today, and those who take up this task of sharing the good news of Jesus with people, going personally, of being God's body in the world, his hands and feet, his voice that speaks out words of grace that hurting hearts need to hear. This is the way that the world can see the love of Christ for themselves. Every time we live with love and grace, Christ lives in the world. Jesus is made known in the world personally. And this is our task. This is our task as those who have known that great gift of Jesus' love for themselves, to turn, to share it. We are sent forth to be the body of Christ in the world. Amen.